Every sports fan has an opinion. Well, these are ours.
Ours.
Welcome to Brock and Pep's Unsportsmanlike Convo.
Right!
And here are your hosts, Brock Fleming and Pep Cariotti.
All right. Don't even know what to say. We are back, sort of. This is the Unsportsmanlike Convo. I'm Brock Fleming, and with me, as always, is P-Dog Cariotti on the other end of this.
Oh.
Did you just bark?
I did. I was going to give you a louder one, but
Is that a thing? Are we doing this? Is that what that is? We're going to...
I think when you say P-Dog from now on, it's going to trigger a bark, so... Maybe you want to get a sound effect?
Well, if I did, you wouldn't hear it anyway. We're having some some virtual technical difficulties, I guess. Just Pep can't hear the sound effects that I've put on this thing. So, again, whatever. This is like literally learning to be on a bike again. I forgot where everything is. It took me probably longer than this show's going to be to find our intro music again because it had been so long.
But I'd say, you know, like overall, all we really need is a working mic and some listeners, and we're pretty much 80% there. So we just need the listeners, hopefully.
Did we have them before?
I want to say yes, because the reason why we're back was because of popular demand. People were asking how come we're not on the air anymore, and I said, well, I would say, well, look, life got busy, you know, and we took a hiatus. What, it was in July of last year. June or July of last year, and it was just busy times. You're coaching, yeah. You know, and I was just getting back into work. My job changed, obviously. So here we are, back at it. I was super pumped.
Was that the end of your sentence? Just to see. Gains that mutual interest.
Guys, it's like first, this is like a preseason game, all right? We're out of sorts. You know, we're calling plays, and that last play was I asked Brock to run a 5-yard out, and he ran a post. So that's gonna happen.
I was in the end zone waiting for that ball. There's a little bit of give and take. It's all new equipment too. We're screwing around with, and honestly, I think as we get going with this, I'd like to, you know, we'll get back to doing things in person a little bit more as well. And
amen.
Have some fun with it. Anyway, moving on with our this return to action. The episodes will be a lot shorter. We are going to be very focused with our topic. So instead of having the hour show that's going over as much sports as we can cram into one episode, we're going to cut them up into smaller ones so they're easier listens. Very clear on what it is. So if you have zero interest in the Toronto Blue Jays, you can feel free to end this one and wait for the next episode, because today will be Blue Jay focused. I do have the intro. You're not going to hear it, but I'm going to play it. That's the Blue Jays Sportsnet intro music, which for the majority of this baseball season got me pretty jacked up.
I mean, what we're going to talk about today, we're going to give our Blue Jay grades, and then we're going to talk about the free agents and who we think should stick around and who we think won't or shouldn't and won't. But all in all, yeah, I'm with you, Brock. I was pumped up despite the fact that they couldn't do much offensively. I got pumped up to watch every single game because they were competitive and, you know, low scoring. I mean, I'm all for low scoring games. I just didn't like the way they went about their business at the plate. And I think, you know, again, we're going to try and focus on free agency and a quick grade. But, you know, if we wanted to take a deeper dive, I just didn't like the way they played baseball this year.
It's tough because for the longest time, I wanted them to be able to play these one-run games and manufacture wins when they needed to. And I thought they did better at that for a good chunk of it, or at least I thought they were coming around to it. They got a lot more speed on the bases, Alejandro Kirk being a huge exception, a huge round exception. but other than that, we had guys that can move, and I really wanted to see them take that next step, and it just didn't happen. So I don't know. They went from it was a home run or nothing to, you know, starting to put some stuff together, but then they just couldn't manufacture contact even at the plate. Like, just poke it over the infield. Whatever you have to do, bunt, be more aggressive. However you need to make those runs come in and help your supporting pitching, which I thought the pitch, anyway, we'll get into it, but I thought the pitching was pretty good this year, which has notoriously been a sore spot for the Jays. But ultimately, yeah, there's been a bad taste in my mouth over the last few weeks there after we've been eliminated. You know, I'm like you, I was excited every time they played throughout the season because they were fighting for something. In reality, when you're fighting for two more games, it's not really that big a deal when you got 162 and you say, well, now we got 164 or whatever. But anyway, I digress. Continue.
Well, yeah, look, man, you know, like the trades that they made last year in the offseason were designed to do exactly what you explained, right? Small ball, manufacture more runs, contact. They went and picked up Brandon Belt and Varsho and Kiermaier, guys that, well, Whit Merrifield was coming back for another year, guys that can get the bat on the ball. And from what I read something this morning that was actually really interesting. Every single regular player that returned from last year was worse in terms of overall analytics when it came to runners in scoring position, OPS. Every single guy except for Kevin Biggio was worse. The new guys, I know we crapped on them pretty hard, especially Varsho. The first half of the season, he was pathetic. Love the kid's hustle defensively. I think he's an all-star, but offensively, I mean, he was a liability. He couldn't get the bat on the ball. But they held their part for the most part. They did their part. They were brought in to do a job, and they kind of did it, those guys that I'm referring to. But it was the regulars who shit the bed, like the Springers and the
Vladdy Guerreros.
Vladdy, like, we could do a whole episode on Vladdy, and I don't know what's going on with him. Is he hurt?
Maybe. His feelings hurt? I don't know. Like, is there an injury thing? You're bringing that up. Like, is that an actual concern?
When he went on the DL for, I think it was on the DL for 10 days, or maybe he just sat for a couple of days. It was because of a swollen knee. And there was some talk about, you know, he'd been dealing with that knee all year, and he's just sort of playing through pain. Like, is that the issue? Was that the issue? Because the fans deserve to know. You know, we're paying good money. The people who are going to watch those games are paying pretty good money, big ticket. They need to know that Vladdy's not his best, because you go out there, when I go see a Blue Jays game or when I watch a Blue Jays game, I used to love the fact that, hey, at the worst case scenario, I'm going to see a couple of home runs. And we did not see that this year. The power was out. I'm sorry, 26 homers for the guy that they were relying on to hit 35 plus. I mean, he hit like, what, 6 or 7 the last week of the season? So he hovered around 18, 19 home runs for most of the year.
Which, yeah, given the expectations. And like you said, I mean, they deserve to know that he's not at his best. But I could have told you he wasn't at his best.
I don't need anybody
to tell me that he's subpar this season.
And it's such a shame because, you know what, I want to get into the team grades here real quick, okay? So I'm going to give the team a B minus as an overall grade. Why? Because they made the playoffs. Yeah, they snuck in. Yeah, they shit the bed the last week of the season. Yeah, Seattle basically handed them the playoff spot. I get it. But they made the playoffs nonetheless. So to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball, I think is an accomplishment. I'm going to give them a B minus overall as a team for that. We could give separate grades to their offense and defense, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm just as an overall B minus. The pitching was outstanding. And they bring back Gausman. They bring back Bassett. They bring back Berríos and Kikuchi. All those guys are signed for next year. So you've got a starting four with Manoah being a wild card, with Ricky Tiedemann, who's going to get a really good look in spring training. You've got potential for a starting five to be just as effective. The bullpen is completely intact, except for a UFA that I'm going to talk about in a minute. So, I mean, there's a lot to like because you know they're going to make offensive changes. So I'm going to give them a B minus, and I'm optimistic for next year.
Well, I appreciate your optimism. I think I think over the last few years, that's a sentiment that's echoed across Jays fans for a good chunk of it. I mean, there's always, you know, we've gone through years and we understand how difficult it is to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball. So a B minus is probably a decent grade, you know, like if anything less like a C plus, you know, I just don't think does justice to the fact that they got into the playoffs. If you had asked me what the grade was before these playoffs started, I think it would have been higher than what it is today, only because of the results of the AL East teams in said playoffs and how bad they've done. So before the playoffs, the AL East was supposed to be like, hey, this is one of the best divisions in baseball. And, you know, to try and fight to be at the top of that one is really tough. If you can come in second or in our case, third, I guess, and still make the playoffs, that speaks volumes for the strength of that division. The fact that I think there was one win out of all AL East teams, if that, in the playoffs, is extremely disappointing and maybe puts things into perspective. I know MLB and people are bringing up format issues given these sweeps and these top teams being eliminated by the playoffs. That's something we can discuss another time. But
what's wrong with the format? Like, just really, really briefly, like what's the argument? I don't mind it. Is it the short series?
I honestly, I'm not sure where they're coming from in terms of what of the format they believe is causing these other teams to be swept and these top teams to be eliminated. The only thing I can think of is the shortened three-game series because it's very compact and teams that don't have the depth. So the ones that don't have like a real good starting five rotation during the season, your record's going to be lower because you're only going out with your aces 3 out of 5 instead of 5 out of 5. So your record's going to reflect that. In a three-game series, that eliminates a good, that's 40% of your depth that's not even on there. You know what I mean? So yeah, yeah. With that, that's the only thing I can think of as to the argument as to the formatting problems. Otherwise, you know, I don't know what else it could be.
Look, I was happy they made the switch from that, like the single game elimination. I thought that was stupid. You know, you're one game, and you play 162 games just to play one game in or out. That's ridiculous. I do like the idea of a best of 5 in the first round and the best of 7 the remaining rounds. The NBA used to do that in the 80s and 90s. Your first round was best of 5, and then the last 3 or whatever it was best of 7. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it led for a little bit more by the way of upsets. Everybody likes a feel-good story. The 93 Denver Nuggets, 8 seed, beat the 1 seed Sonics in a best of 5. You know, it kind of made for a cool story. But ultimately, I think fans want to see the best teams make it as far as they can go.
That's different in basketball. It's the same people playing every game. So you got to be able to win and be consistent. In baseball, it's like saying, okay, you know, we're doing a best of 5 between the Bulls and the Suns. And game 1, Jordan goes off, but Barkley's sitting. And then game 2, Barkley's in and Jordan's out or whatever. Because it doesn't work that way. With the baseball, I think you got to go 7 games. There is zero reason that the baseball season has to be 162 games.
I might be the only one on the planet who likes it. I like the fact that I could turn on the TV 87% of the summer and there's going to be a Jays game on. And it's, I don't know. I like it. I can't get enough baseball.
Well, if it was 162 games, is it the number? Is it what? If that season ended, you know, a week before, but that first series is now best of 7, you get your 162 games, or you get something to fight for. You say, you know what, we're in this, but then you see an actual rotation. You see, you know, some longer term plan. You see, it lines up. So if you have somebody who's pitched in that first series, you know, if it's your ace and it goes to 7, you're going to have them for a second game. If it doesn't, you'll have them ready for the next series and stuff too. Like, why does it got to be 162 just to fight to play 2 or 3 extra games? It's awful.
I'm with you there 100%. I like a lot of baseball. So for me, like, if they want to ramp it up to a best of 5 first round, best of 7, best of 7, I'd be thrilled. If they want to go best of seven right from the start to finish and take off, I don't know, eight games in the regular
season. I'm not saying a ton. I'm not saying go to 60 games or whatever, but it doesn't have to be 162. There's no magical number in the 162 that makes the mathematical part work. So
I don't know.
Put it down to 158. Put it down to 155. That's still a lot of fucking baseball.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah,
we're not live anymore, so there's going to be some F-bombs.
No, I agree 100%. I think every sport should consider that. I know football's kind of doing the opposite. They're adding a regular season game, and they're, you know, it's like, but yeah, I'm with you there 100%. And I think, you know, let me use the Ottawa Titans as a bad example. They play, I think their season's about 95 games, which is a lot in Frontier League for a minor league team. Not even minor, it's just semi-pro. And then they play one game playoff in the first round. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And I actually complained. I said, I had written a letter to them. I said, look, I'm a fan. I go to a dozen games a year, maybe more, a dozen home games. I specifically go to the last little bit.
Time out.
Yes, sir.
You wrote a letter to the Ottawa Titans. One, for anybody listening outside of the Ottawa region, Google Ottawa Titans. You're going to have to scroll about three pages to find out what the fuck Pep's talking about. Two, you wrote a letter like you're Rob with two B's to the editor.
I should be more specific. I wrote an email. And I was just like, look, I supported you guys through your playoff stretch, like towards the end there, while you guys were fighting for a playoff spot. I came out. And then what? And then you play a single game elimination on the road, no less, and lose. So here you got my money, you got my food money, I got some merch money from me. All for what? To watch you lose on the road in a single game? I said, that's ridiculous. The Frontier League needs to address this. Otherwise, I'm not going to support you guys as the season concludes. I'm just going to go to a few games in the middle of the year, and that'll be it. Like, you know. So, yeah.
All right. Did you get a response?
I did not.
Oh, funny. Okay. Because they don't have any full-time staff probably either. That's anyway.
It's probably sitting in an Outlook inbox that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, the email address was at AOL or whatever. Anyway. All right. Back on the Jays, which is a Major League Baseball team that most people in the country know.
Did you give him a grade? I want to hear your grade.
I'm giving him a C+.
C+.
Yeah.
That's pretty low for a team that made the playoffs.
I told you why I did it. Because the AL East sucks. They all got swept in the playoffs, so really they're not as strong as I thought they were.
Yeah, but you look at the AL East, reminds me of the AFC North, like the four teams just slugging it out, and by the time the playoffs come around, there's what's left, you know? It's a slugfest right to the end with those guys, you know? Like they had to fight. How are the Yankees and Red Sox bottom tier? Those two teams were competitive this year. So when your two bottom tier teams in the division are low and you got to fight them even, it's tough. And the Rays were decimated with injuries. I don't think Baltimore had enough pitching, and the Jays didn't have enough offense. So they all had their own issues. But
I'm not changing my grade. It's just like a flag. I'm not changing it. It's C+. You didn't put up any runs, really, in two games. You celebrated like your World Series champions with champagne and stuff, and you lost like the two or three last games of the season, and you had to watch it on TV to say, hey, did the other team screw up worse than we did that allows us to get into the playoffs and then not win anything? I couldn't handle that part either. Anyway, C+.
The Mariners handed them a spot. Like, let's call a spade here. The Mariners went on a horrific run towards the end. And I think the Mariners were better built for the playoffs than the Jays. I mean, they had a little bit of offense, a lot of pop, and two or three good starting pitching. They could have won a round easily. So,
honestly, between you and I, if the Jays could not win one of those last games to secure that last point, I would have rather seen somebody else get in, because they just were not going to. You can't just turn on. You can't lose, all of a sudden just turn it on. And these guys were not doing that. And so I thought, you know what? It's going to be exactly this scenario. It's going to be two and out anyway. Let somebody else get in there. Let's see Hernandez and his new team and see what happens there. Anyway, we're at 19.5. So let's move with some of this.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like the ticker. Okay, so I want to talk about the free agents. We're going to go over who's basically available to leave via free agency, and there are two players who have mutual options. I've never heard that term before, but I read up on it this morning. So let me start with the two players who have mutual options. We got Jordan Hicks. Chad Green, the relief pitcher. He's got a mutual option. I think based on his salary, I don't think it's a bad idea. I thought he was excellent coming out of the pen. It took him a game or two to get, you know, his feet wet again. I mean, he'd been out of baseball for a year. I think he had Tommy John, a veteran guy. I hopefully the two will find some common ground. I mean, if I'm Chad Green, the money's pretty good. I think it's like $8 million or something like that. So you take the money.
It says $9 million.
$9 million, yeah.
Well, so, whatever. I mean, whatever I'm looking at says club $9 million. It says his tax salary in 2023 was 4.2, market value 2.46. So I don't know if that's for the right-handed reliever sort of thing, like where that is, the market value average, I guess. Anyway, $9 million.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in baseball terms, it's not crazy, but that's a lot of money. Anyway, okay.
Well, at the prospect of losing Jordan Hicks, I mean, you bring him back if you can. I would say bring him back.
Jordan Hicks.
No, we'll get to Jordan Hicks in a
second. Okay, you just said the risk of losing Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks and Chad Green are too different for me. So Chad Green, I could take or leave it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And at $9 million, maybe I'll leave it.
I like him as insurance for guys like Romano who are injury prone. I like him to be back there. He throws 96, you know, and he's a veteran guy. And if you do, you know, I'm not sure what the Jays have in terms of youth in the bullpen. I think Pearson's still considered a young guy, I think it's important to have a veteran guy like that who can calm everybody down. Genesis Cabrera is still a young guy, so. Okay, enough about Chad Green. We spent a lot of time on Chad Green. Whit Merrifield's the other guy who has a mutual option. I don't see him coming back. He's going to want one more full-time contract. He's 35 years old.
Says 18 mil for the mutual.
I loved Whit Merrifield for three-fourths of the season. I thought Schneider overplayed him. I thought by the end of the year he was gassed. He wasn't catching up to the fastball. And suddenly he went from a 300 hitter to, I think he finished with 275 somewhere in that ballpark. So if I'm, and the way he reacted to Berrios getting yanked, you know, saying whatever he said in the media, I'm good if he walks.
You know what? I really like Merrifield. I want him back. I think he might've been overutilized for sure. But that also speaks to his Swiss Army knife of skills. He could play basically any position on any given night. And I think with that alone, you know, I think his ability to bunt and, you know, manufacture some pressure somewhere, I think he brings a good mindset to the game, you know, a professionalism across the board. And I like him. I want him back. I think I would.
You want him to play over Biggio and Davis Schneider and Espinal?
I would take him over Espy. I think Schneider had a good season. You know what I mean? Like, I like Schneider. That's great. I liked Vladdy in his first season. I liked, you know, some other people who had good first seasons, good first stints, and then had some slumps. So I wouldn't be surprised if Schneider, you know, goes through those same sort of sophomore slumps and ends up somewhere else or back down a little bit next year, whatever his contract allows for. So I would like to have a guy like Merrifield who can, you know, push them and whatever. And if you have to trade the guy later, trade the guy later. But I think until you know what you have, Schneider, Espinal, even Biggio. Biggio went through his hurdles and stuff early on. I thought he was probably the most the biggest surprise this season that I was happy with was how he turned his career around, or at least this season around. And if he can build off of that, fantastic. But I've also seen the opposite side. So until you know what you have, I feel like he's a guy you keep around.
I think Biggio is just a guy that needed at bats. I think the guy just needed to play it like every day. And finally, when he did, he showed what he could do. When him, Bichette, and Guerrero came up Biggio was the most polished hitter out of the three for that first, I want to say, 5 months of their big league stretch. Biggio looked the best out of the three.
So, I said Biggio was going to be the best pro long term.
Yeah,
out of those three. And that was because of his pedigree and his like focus, it seemed.
Yep. So anyway, I that's it for that. In that case alone, I let Merrifield walk myself.
Well, all right. For that case alone, I keep him.
Okay, awesome. Kevin Kiermaier.
I fucking like that guy, but he wants to play on grass, and that means he's basically saying, I want to play for the Yankees or the Red Sox. So beat it.
I'm the exact same way. Love the guy. You know, he gave up his body still, and he was remarkably healthy for a guy coming off hip surgery. Awesome season. I thought he was a class act. Take a hike. You know, you don't, during a fucking playoff run, you don't say, oh yeah, I want to go play on grass and stay in the AL East. Get the fuck out of here.
Ah, he's fuck, he's, you know, he's nice too guy. Handsome. It's distracting when we're watching the Jays and wife's talking about, oh, there's old Blue Eyes. Just, hey, let me focus on the baseball, not on Kevin Kiermaier.
I thought we were done with the Hanson when Grichuk got traded because Buck Martinez, oh, Grichuk, he's such a great player, Grichuk. And then same thing with Kiermaier. Buck Martinez just has man crushes on these guys. But anyway, adios, amigo. Brandon Belt.
I've never been a fan of Brandon Belt. I'm not going to lie. I think it was his... The expressions he has, it's like he's constantly smelling a fart and just hates life and whatever. And it's just like, anyway, I've never been a huge fan of him. I grew to like him a little bit. He had some pretty good at bats. I kind of, again, he's a character that they really didn't showcase as much as he probably should. I've seen a couple of interviews where he talked about like the whole MVP thing. And like, if nobody's going to do it, I might as well do it. And I appreciate that kind of sense of humor to a point as well, but whatever, he's never a guy that I'm excited to see come up to the plate or I'm excited to see on TV in any sort of capacity at all, really. So other than being a left-handed bat that's kind of a veteran presence, I can do without.
His first couple of months of the year, he was just, you know, getting his feet wet again at coming off knee surgery. He had a really bad year, down year last year with San Francisco, but I thought he was excellent towards the end of the year. I'd say after, just before the All-Star break and then the whole second half of the season, he was, I'd have to look it up statistically. He might have been the best home run hitter on their team. Like, he ended up with 19 homers. I think, you know, he was second or third on the team in home runs. They were, overplaying him. He was batting second. Like, again, that's something we could talk about in another podcast, but the lineup didn't make any sense to me. Why the hell is he batting second? I know he gets the bat on the ball, but if he gets on base, he's a liability. He's slower than Kirk, for Christ's sakes. Like, nothing made sense to me this year. Anyway, I let him walk. He wants to retire. I just let him walk because you need a better hitter. You need a guy with more power and pop. He only brings some power, you know.
Well, hey, if he's slower than Kirk, then by walk, you mean sprint because it's the same speed. Just get out, grab your stuff, and hit the road.
Last but not least, Matt Chapman.
This one is a little bit tougher.
Let me give you his stats before.
You go ahead.
240, 19, and I think 57 RBI. Not great.
How many errors?
Look, we all know he's a gold glove third baseman. He could pick it with the best of them, but that's just not enough for this team. Are you telling me that a guy can't come in, a guy from the minors, maybe a David Schneider, maybe a Addison Barger, maybe a guy can come in and not play 85% of what Matt Chapman does at third? It's not the end of the world if they don't have him there. Defensively, I mean. Offensively, he's not very good. I'm sorry. All those at-bats he gets, he's an everyday player, and he's popping up, striking out, can't catch up. You know, he had most of his statistics in the first series of the year when he went berserk against St. Louis. Mm. And then the rest of the year, he was a below-average player. Let him walk.
Is there any benefit to signing and trading or anything like that? Like, he's got value somewhere there, but is it enough? I don't know. I'm probably like you, honestly, because after the last couple of years and just the length of a regular season to get into a game or two more a year is awful. I'd rather sometimes, I say that now, I'm not, but to be done in October or in like by the end of August, you're like, well, we're statistically out of it. So let's see the young guys, let's whatever, but let's not get our hopes up and let's clean house. Let's start to build. We keep trying to go through there. I think at this point, there has to be a bit of a house cleaning thing. And I say, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's my first response is to say, okay, let's get rid of them, free up a bunch of salary. Let's give the young guys some chance. Let's go get a couple of proven veterans that might be out there. All right, fuck it. Bye, Chapman.
Bye, Chapman. Look, and you know that he's, I think his fate was sealed when Atkins said, you know, they're going to be big holes to fill when, and he mentioned Chapman, Merrifield, and I think he mentioned Belt. Like, when you say that in a press conference, you're basically saying we have no intention of bringing these guys back.
Yeah, so, but then he said Schneider made the decision like an idiot, and I had nothing to do with it. And then the very next, the ticker at the same time that he's talking says we're bringing him back. So, okay, then I have no idea what's going on.
You know, actually, I saw a headline today that Toronto is a team in turmoil. So I never thought I'd live to see the day that the Blue Jays, of all teams, you know, a pretty stable franchise, even when they had their coaching issues, for the most part, personnel-wise, they were pretty stable. They've been stable since I've known them. So this is like new territory for us to see the Jays kind of fumble around, you know, in terms of the head office and the coaching. I've never seen it before. Even Gibby at his worst could handle himself in front of a mic.
Gibby was fun, and I kind of miss him more than I thought I would.
Gibby played the deck, the hand that he was dealt. Okay, I'll give him that. Here's a bunch of home run hitters, Gibby. Do what you want to do. We're not fucking walking. We're not stealing bases. We are swinging for the fence. So, you know, in that regard, they were fun to watch. And actually, was it yesterday the anniversary of Batista's home run?
It was.
Might be a good way to end the show. It's a boom, baby.
Well, I'm sorry. Did you just put me on the spot to try and get a clip of him fucking hitting a home run? Because you got zero idea what's happening. I'm trying to find a song for us to go out to, let alone. Let's do that, bud. Cue it up.
Boom. Cue it up, baby.
Fuck. I guess we're not live, so I can do some of that editing stuff. But here's a spoiler alert. That ain't happening. about Hicks, FYI, but...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he was the other guy. Sorry, he was the other guy who I believe he didn't look happy as a Blue Jay. I did not see any enthusiasm out of him. He did come out of the pen and throw hard. If I'm the Jays, I'm like, look, man, we'll give you what you want. You'll be the closer if you want to be the closer. We'll send Romano Pacquin, or he can be the setup guy. He'll have to deal with it. But I think you do whatever you can to keep Hicks. And having Hicks and Cabrera in the back end of that bullpen, I thought was excellent. I thought it was really, really good. They gave up a ton to get Hicks. So if he walks, I mean, geez, you know. Hunjin Ryu is the other guy. Sorry, he's the other guy who's a UFA. He's gone. He's as good as gone. He's good. Another guy who wants one more contract as a starter. He doesn't have the stuff to be a consistent starter, if you ask me. His stuff's too short. Look, man, in this era of velocity, he doesn't have it. And the game, even within the last 4 years, has changed. You need heat. Look at Bassett. His changeup, 68 miles an hour, or his curveball, sorry. But he can still rear back and throw 96. So, you know, you need some velocity. He just doesn't have it. And adios, amigo. He came in completely out of shape in his first year and looked like he lost a bit of weight, but still, anyway. He can go fuck himself.
Yeah, I agree. You can get out.
Bye.
Adios, amigos. You can't hear the air horn, but I'm just hammering it.
I don't know. I don't know why I found that so funny.
Anyway, all right. Well,
okay.
On that, I mean, yeah. Fuck. Jay season done for 2023. Let's see what happens over the next couple months. But I'd like to see some big changes. I'd like to see just a whole attitude shift on the Jays, because I think right now it's, I don't know, this is all those two or three guys, that whole like the young Guerrero, Biggio, and Bichette, that threesome that kind of came up and started. This is all they know. All they know is this, like, disappointment in the first round and whatever. And if it keeps going this way, that's just what they're going to be known for. There needs to be a bit of a shakeup. There needs to be guys coming in with a new attitude, some leadership, some this is how it's supposed to be done, and this is how we get past this one. And don't rely on these guys. Bring in some others to lead by example and have Biggio and Guerrero and stuff be the supporting cast to these other guys. And that's what I'd like to see. I'm not a huge Schneider fan. If he's back, he's back. But, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. And
they're going to look very different any way you slice it, whether it's homegrown guys or whether it's free agency. And I can't imagine they're going to sit back and just say, hey, listen, we're just going to roll with Horwitz, Barger, and Orelvis Martinez, and we're going to call them up and see. I can't imagine. They've invested too much in those top four starting pitchers for them to just say, hey, let's just roll with what we got in the minors and go from there. We'll see some moves. They're going to look very different.
All right. Well, on that, the 20-minute episode is 35 minutes. Apologize for that. We're getting better. We're going to keep it very specific. A lot more rants. I cannot wait. Okay, we're going to talk NFL at some point. We're going to talk about this international games and how fucking awful they are. But the grass looks really nice. Anyway, all right. I got to figure out how to put music back in this. But in the meantime, let's just get the fuck out of here. And we'll see everybody next week or whenever we do it. There's no time frame. There's no time. Don't hold me to next week. It'll come when it comes.
It comes when it comes.
All right, everyone. Have a good one.
Bye.